I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex. And that's Grayson.
And this is Autism Building the Puzzle.
One piece at a time.
Hi, and welcome to Autism Building the Puzzle, one piece at a time. Sean here, your host. As usual, I'm accompanied by my wonderful, incredible wife, Alexandria.
Hey, everyone. Hey, babe. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well.
Good.
Excited to have another episode with you and hang out and have some fun. So.
Yes, yes. Let's do it.
So today, we're going to be talking about a specific ABA, type of ABA therapy called DTT.
Mm-hmm.
Which is stands for discrete
trial
training. It's probably one of the most popular styles of ABA, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's something that was a little too structured, I think, and too rigid for Grayson in the beginning.
Yeah, I struggled.
So I would say probably, when did we start really doing a lot of trials?
I'd say about a year ago.
Yeah, I would agree with that, probably. But
no less than a year.
So, yeah, a little bit before he became four, I would say.
Yeah.
We started really pushing that and amping that up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've done a great job with it, the BCBA and our therapists and all, so.
Oh, my God, yeah, we have a fantastic team right now.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of just go over what trials are, some of the key tips, you know, the different parts of a trial.
Mm-hmm.
So this way, if you guys want to teach something to your kiddos, you know, you have a basis to do so. So
yeah, better idea.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty simple once you get the hang of it. You know,
it works.
Yeah.
Great results, so.
Yeah, it's basically a three-step process.
Right.
You know, and you can teach really, like, pretty much any skill.
Mm-hmm.
You can even teach social skills. I mean, like, we did an episode on social skills, and we were talking about how you can use ABA to teach social skills. So,
yeah.
I mean, and theoretically, you could use this style of teaching for neurotypical kids, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
it's not just for kids with autism.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, obviously it was developed for, specifically for kids with autism.
Right.
Because it's just easier way, more structured way for them to learn.
Work on anybody.
So.
You could do it with your dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like.
Alex does ABA on me all the time.
Yeah, I'm Sean. Not the dog, though. The dog.
Yeah, the dog gets to do whatever the heck she wants.
Yeah. That is true.
All right. So let's start off with just talking about, like, the three different parts of a trial.
Okay.
So first part would be, I always mess it up.
Giving an SD, which is like a command, kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, so.
It's the best way to.
Touch this, give me.
Yeah.
Do this. Are, you know, a few examples we use in therapy a lot.
Which Grayson struggled with a lot in the beginning because he didn't like anytime you told him what to do. So automatically it would be a meltdown because, you know, so we had to be really careful on how we said our words or, you know, how we would just word things. Instead of no, it was like try again.
Yeah.
Things like that. He couldn't handle just any kind of demand whatsoever. So you kind of just had to like play and let him join in and teach him things like that. So
yeah.
In the beginning.
So, you know, now when we're talking about an SD, that's just the command or the direction that the therapist or instructor or you as a parent are giving the child.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the response, which is however they respond.
Right.
So if you say, give me, and they give it to you, that's their response.
Mm-hmm. Good job. And you can say, like, good job well, giving me whatever.
Yeah, and that would be the third step. That would be the, you know, reinforcement or correction.
Right.
So you have you have the SD, so the direction. You have the response, whether good or bad,
mm-hmm.
Right or wrong, and then you have the reinforcer,
right,
or correction. So those are the three main parts. So if you had a successful trial, it would be something like Alex, do this. And I put my right arm up. She puts her right arm up. Mm-hmm. That's her response. And then I would say, great job. Come here. Give me a hug. Let me tickle you. Whatever
your child likes.
Yeah, some...
Grayson, you know, likes that, so we're using that as an example, obviously.
Yeah, a lot of people use food, bubbles. Bubbles are really popular, actually, for a lot of kids.
And a lot of children with autism, you know, a lot of them aren't affectionate. But Grayson, that's his reward. He doesn't like candy or anything else, so he just wants cuddles. He loves just, like, sitting on the therapist's lap. He loves rubbing his head because he has a shaved head.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, like, Grayson's thing. So, like, he sits there and rubs his head. It's the funniest thing. He'll do something wrong. And he's like, give me your head. And just rubs his head. It's so funny. But it's cute.
So, now, like, what Alex was saying about the, like, Grayson not being able to handle, like, no or you're wrong. When they're wrong, we would say with Grayson, try again.
Right.
As opposed to... No, and I think that's good for all kids, because...
I do, too.
You know, nobody likes to be told no. It's really, you know, it's negative. I think try again is more of a positive thing.
Yeah, because Grayson doesn't like being wrong. Everything has to be perfect.
And I think it's important, like, the way people should learn is by doing and making mistakes and then working through it to figure out how to do it right, as opposed to just being told, no, you're wrong, try it again.
Right.
Do it again. You know what I mean? I feel like that you're kind of just kind of forcing and molding them as opposed to allowing them to kind of learn.
Yeah, I mean, and even the other day, you know, I was there and we had therapy here and our therapist had said, like, try again. And Grayson's starting to learn what that, he knows what that means. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And now he gets, like, super upset. And, like, I just heard the therapist turn around and be like, bud, I understand you want to get everything right, and because he gets really, really upset when he's wrong. So, like, now we have to, like, it's all right. It's all right. We're going to work through it. Like, let's try it again. It's okay. You know, because he does. Yeah. He does get upset, so.
Yeah. So, a couple tips to make the trials go well.
Mm-hmm.
One I'm going to say would be to make sure you're consistent and clear. So you want to make sure you're not saying, do this, and then the next time, touch this, you know, and then say, copy me.
Yeah, it can be confusing.
It's going to get really, really confusing. You know, you want to stick with one specific, consistent demand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, so not hand me and then give me. It would be give me every time. Or hand me every time. And I don't think it matters so much which words you always choose as long as you're consistent with them.
Yes, and always follow through.
So, yes. So that's one thing that's going to make things go a lot smoother when you're trying to teach using this method.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is anytime you give an SD, you want to make it stand out from the rest of the things you're saying.
Right.
So... you would want to raise your voice and just accentuate the SD a little bit. Yes, a little higher tone. So do this as opposed to do this.
Right.
That's also going to give the child, like, you know, a tone indicator that you're giving them a demand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is just making sure the reinforcement is consistent and strong all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the reinforcement is probably one of the biggest things. I mean, we had some trouble with therapists over time not giving him, you know, enough reinforcement sometimes. You know, not being energetic enough and he's excited enough and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then we've had other times where we've been so excited, us and the therapist, that he did something that we're like, and Grayson's covering his ears because we're so like...
and we're like, okay, good job, because if you do that, he won't do it again. It's funny, like most kids are like, oh, get excited, you know, praise me. But he's like, quiet down or you're never seeing me complete this again. So, it's funny.
So I mean that's the basics of doing a trial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously any of your other key things with ABA. You want to try to keep the environment sanitary, meaning few distractions around. You want to make
toys away.
Yeah.
Quiet. You're
only working on one skill at a time. I mean, maybe obviously later on, when they get a little bit older, you can kind of mix multiple skills together, but, you know, especially in the beginning, make sure you're separating them. You know, and you want to give them breaks in between tasks. So, like, if you're working on one specific task, like, you know, you have a bunch of flashcards and you're trying to get them to manned or tacked for those cards.
Right.
Yeah, I should say tacked for those cards, which means identify those cards. You know, set aside a group of 10, do the 10, give them a break, then you can come back and do more. Or then after those 10, you move on to the next activity. And stay consistent with that, you know, duration for a little bit before you expand. And then the next part of...
It's going to take time to get the instructional control of them. True. And it's going to just be, you know, if they try to get up from, you know, the trial or... You know, let's say, for instance, you're doing a trial and they're kind of, you know, stimming or not focused, kind of, you know, what we kind of do is, like, if Grayson's not focused, we kind of just snap our hands in front of his face, get his attention, give the SD, and, you know, he'll do what he's being asked. If he's, let's say he's flapping, we don't ever stop stimming, but if we're asking something during a trial, giving the SD, and he starts flapping or he's like, oh, I want to eat right now, the therapist will kind of refocus him, grab his hands, quiet hands, give the STD again, and then let him complete it.
You always want to follow through on that.
Yes, 100%.
You don't want to let them think they can do something like, whether it's simming or, you know,
anything,
challenging behavior, whatever. You don't want to let them think that they can get out of it just by doing that behavior, because then you're just reinforcing them to do that to get out of doing something they don't want to do.
And if your children headbang, you know, let's say, like, for instance, Grayson, he'll headbang on your, you know, hand. If you ask him something, sometimes he'll headbang. The best thing to do for that is don't say anything at all. Completely ignore it. Wait a second. Let them bring themselves back to center and then give the SD again so that they know that no matter what they do, this isn't going away. They're not getting out of it. They have to complete it. And then, you know, once they complete that, great job. Let them get up for a second. Okay, back to the table and back to work.
Yeah.
So that's the best way.
And you're always going to start, especially in the beginning, with errorless teaching the first few trials. You know, obviously, when you're talking about teaching a child that's maybe like 8 or 9 years old, they've already got a handle on, you know, what a trial is at that point. I think they've kind of already adapted to it at that point a little bit. So you don't have to necessarily do hand over hand, you know, and errorless.
Do you want to tell them, like, exactly again? Because I think we've talked about it in previous episodes, but if anybody new is listening, why don't you explain what errorless is?
Oh, yeah, well, errorless is pretty much just, you give the SD, but instead of waiting for them to do it, you just grab their hand and do it with them.
Intervene right away so they know exactly what the right answer is.
Yeah, so there's no chance of them ever being wrong when you do it errorlessly.
So,
there's no way to make an error.
Right, for instance, like, we have one exercise where we have down cards of images, and our therapist will say, give me guitar. And in the beginning, he'd take his hand, put it on this guitar card and hand it to, you know, do hand over hand. And he'd say, great job, you gave me guitar, give me guitar. And he'd do like hand over hand like 5 times, and then he would let Grayson do it on his own independently.
Yeah.
And he would say, like, give me guitar. Grayson would do it on his own, and he'd say, great job, you gave me guitar. Best thing to do too is have a token board if, you know, Grayson likes Sesame Street. So you can have something that they like, you know, Toy Story characters, Mickey Mouse. And have like 5 pieces of Velcro on a laminated sheet, and on the back of the characters, put some Velcro and great job giving me guitar. You get a Mickey Mouse, and have them learn to put them on the token board after each thing that you're asking them after each SD.
Yeah, and then they can earn a reward.
Yeah.
After the token board's filled up, whether that's, you know, jumping on a trampoline for a couple of minutes, or swinging on a swing, or just a general break, or what have you. So.
Right.
You know, and then you always, of course, you have stages as you work through these trials, and you're going to slowly transfer trial through them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to move from that error list to, you know, hand over hand, a partial prompt, until they're doing it independently.
Right.
And then when you really move into a real transfer trial, what you're going to be doing then is you're going to work on making that identification, whether it's a tact or just whatever the activity is, making it more generalized so that it's not so specific to just that one item. So, for instance, you're going to maybe start with them tacting and identifying the difference between a ball and a car on flashcards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or you can even do it on an iPad screen. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
They're not really, like, it's not really completely tangible. And then you're going to slowly transition once they've mastered that. The key is once they've mastered that.
Yes.
You're going to transition that to, you know, if you're using a toy car, to a real toy car, as opposed to a picture of a toy car.
Mm-hmm.
So then, as you can see, they're creating a generalization of the picture of a car versus a toy car compared to even a real car.
Right.
You know, obviously they're all kind of the same thing. It's just you want them to be able to understand that even though they may look different, one's three-dimensional, one's a picture, what have you,
mm-hmm.
one's a physical object, one's a larger object, you know, that they're all still a car.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we mean by, you know, generalization. So, I mean, and that's pretty much the whole process of, you know, using discrete trial training to teach different skills. So, you know, you're not really completely done with the teaching that skill until they generalize it across the whole spectrum.
And you can do this literally with anything. Like, let's say your child, you know, is older and helps you do things around the house or cook, or you're trying to teach them or get them more involved. You know, have them, if you're cooking, let them participate. Say, you know, can you get the butter out of the refrigerator? Or hand over hand, show them what to do. Great job getting me the butter. Everything they do, acknowledge it and say what they are doing and yeah. what you're, you know, telling them good job for.
Yeah. So, the principles of DTT can be applied in just a general setting, you know, mm-hmm. as well. So, and I think it's always good to have that sort of, you know, some level of consistency.
Right.
Right. You know, whether you're doing trials or whether you're doing informal, natural environment, you know, type training. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, we've seen how much it has helped Grayson and the positive things from it. In the beginning, you know, if you're doing ABA and you're just starting out, it's hard sometimes, especially, like, I remember when we really started doing trials with Grayson, and he would just sit there and be like, Mom, and, you know, it was, therapist would be like, no, you know, and he had to complete it, and it was hard for me sometimes. I remember sometimes I'd sit there and cry, and Sean would be like, why are you crying? I'm like, he's calling me. Like, it felt very, just, like, cut off emotionally, and that was very, very difficult, but you knew you were doing the best for your child, and they had to follow through. It was going to be the only way that they were going to learn, so, you know, once you get used to that a little bit, it's easier.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely was challenging for him in the beginning. I don't think he was quite ready the first time we ever did a trial.
No.
Actually, I'll be honest with you, I think I was the first one that did a trial with him during COVID.
Yeah.
And it was not good. It did not go well at all.
But hey, he got used to it really fast.
But, you
and
know,
he did well with it.
I can't complain, though, because the those times during COVID and stuff, getting more involved and all that kind of stuff, really, I think it helped me and Grayson. And I think it was really set him up for, you know, making a leap into doing, you know, mostly DTT. Because that's
yeah.
what they did when he came, when they started doing therapy again. At, it was mostly all, you know, trials at that point.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Which was good. He got comfortable with Dad.
So.
You know, we were both there. And Sean was running the trials. And it worked out really good. And I think it was good for Sean, too, you know, because he wasn't working at that point, and it gave him kind of that time to work with Grayson and, you know.
Get more involved and just learn from experience. I mean, you learn so much more from doing than from, you know.
And I think then
watching,
you could see
reading,
really what he knew, kind of, because I remember, like, some conversations, and this might be, you know, something that you talk about with your husbands, especially if they were working all the time, and, you know, if they don't see right away much change happening, you're kind of like, they're working so hard, you don't know what they're doing in trials, you don't know how well it's going, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're seeing it firsthand, so it was really good for him to see that himself.
So. Yeah, and just, like, I've encouraged all you guys out there, like, if you're not the main caretaker and you're not there for therapy,
mm-hmm.
usually, try to find a way to be there every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, ideally, like, maybe just an hour a week. I mean, if not, if you can't make that happen, at least every
as
other week.
As much as you can.
At least every other week.
You
know what I mean? Or, you know, I just thought about this just now on the spot.
What's that?
Why not record one of the sessions? You know what I mean? If you're not there, have your spouse record the session.
Oh, yeah,
and watch
absolutely.
It,
mm-hmm.
you know, on your own time.
I used to do that. Remember, I used to always show you?
Yeah, I mean, and that's, like, another good way to help, you know, learn what's going on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's very important for you as the one that's not there to somehow grasp at least basic knowledge of what's going on, because you're... lack of understanding can end up being detrimental to the learning process, because if you respond in the wrong way when something's happening, you could cause the child to go backwards and then not follow through on things, you know, in therapy while they're learning. So
yes, definitely, that's really hard, because then you sometimes have to start from square one, and that's very frustrating. We've been there.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yep.
Next.
Yeah. Thanks, next.
So, do you have anything else we can think about that we didn't mention about trials that you think's important, or?
No, I think we covered, you know, it pretty well. Like we said, consistency, following through, don't let them get out of anything. And make sure you have a reward system, whatever that child likes.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And you're reinforcing it.
Any ABA program, the very first
thing... It's the same
thing,
reinforcers.
Reinforcer is the very first thing you need to figure out.
Yeah.
It's the number one thing.
Yep.
Because they're never going to do anything unless they understand that they get something they want by doing what you ask them to do, period.
Right.
And you can train anybody like that. Like,
you
Alex
can.
Trains me like that.
Doesn't work.
Ah, stop.
He's a work in progress.
Always, I'll always be a work in progress. I'll never be a finished product.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing.
Hey, we don't want perfection.
Progress over perfection, right,
that's
babe?
That's right. Mm. Yes.
That's right. All right. Well, check us out. IG. We're on IG. Check out buildingthepuzzle.com for our blog. Got a lot of good stuff up on there.
Yes.
Anything else I'm forgetting about?
No, Facebook. We have a group and a page.
Yep, we do.
Yeah.
Support groups on there as well. Everything's in the show notes. Sponsors, Grayson and Company, The Speech Paradigm.
And then online preschool.
Yep.
That is fantastic.
Which Grayson is
it
doing.
It has three different levels.
Awesome.
It's great. It's steppingstonespreschoolonline.com. It's very affordable. It's a New Jersey teacher running her own program, and she sends you everything, projects, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
We love it, so check them out.
We're going to be having her on as well.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that will be happening.
Just trying to.
We've been saying that, but
I know.
It's just been hectic.
Coordinating schedules is not...
easy.
Not always the easiest.
No.
So.
All
right, well, I guess we'll wrap it up for today, and we'll see you guys next time.
For autism,
building
the puzzle
one piece at a time.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
Signing off. Take care, everybody.
Here at
building the puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com as well as on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys.